Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Rivalry Week on The Fan.
What a gorgeous scene on a glorious day.
Bragging rights are on the line between this duck.
It's not just about the money.
And this beaver.
I need to move on. My blood pressure is going through the roof right now. I don't even have bad blood pressure.
This is a Rivalry Week edition of Dirt and Spray. Brought to you by Roto-Rooter, the experts in plumbing, drains, and water cleanup. On The Fan Sports Network. 105.1 FM, 1080 AM, and the Odyssey app.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube, Fan Sports Network. Good morning, everybody. My co-host is still gone.
Everything okay?
We ran out of coffee in the building, which he's not a big coffee guy. Anyway. He doesn't like warm coffee. He likes cold coffee, no. So that's not a big thing for him. It's a big thing for you and I, because you and I drink coffee, and I
have the reserve stash of English breakfast tea here.
And I'm not a big tea guy, but, you know, if it gives you a little boost, a little zap late in the show, it's all you need.
You got to do what you got to do.
So we don't have any iced coffee in the building. We don't have any coffee anyways, but he's an iced coffee guy.
Yes.
Three commercial breaks ago, he ran across the street to go get a coffee. They told him, I'll just be a minute or two. He said, okay, so he ran back in the commercial break, ran over, ordered the coffee, ran back, and then in the break before Pate State came on, he ran back over there to go get his coffee, at which point they told him, or no, but it's just breakfast. I thought you were getting a coffee. He got food. He's hungry. Then he came back, and then he had to go get it in that last commercial break. You got your food? You ready to go?
How long has he been back?
Like 7 minutes. You missed the entire segment.
That's
coming up next.
That is not true.
Not very long. We went late with Pate State.
So I order something, right? Our good friends across the street.
Yes.
And they're like, I was like, how long does this take? Because our breaks aren't that long.
Yeah.
5 minutes. I'm like, cool. I'll be right back. Come back about 4.5 minutes later. It's going to be about 4 minutes. I'm like, oh, it's a Pate State break.
I got to get back. We got a segment to do here.
I don't have a lot of time here.
No, we don't have a lot of time in breaks.
So I said, I'll be back, right? But that's a 20-minute segment. So I came back. They then are like, we had to give that burrito away. It sat too long. But
are you kidding me?
They refunded me.
Really?
And they said, we'll get you another one.
How does that mean it sat too long? It's only been 10, 15 minutes it's been out.
I don't know, man. I don't make these decisions.
You're huffing and puffing over there. You all right? Need a minute?
Well, it was like a dead sprint, like, hey, what's your 40 time type of sprint?
Let's see how fast we can get there.
Not a hood to coast pace. You
a little
know what I mean?
Jog back and forth across the street. It's good to have you back.
But it's good to be back. But I went and got the burrito order again. I go, how long are these going to take? He's like, 1 minute. And I look at my clock. I'm like, well, it's 8:02. Yeah. We went long. And
I should be okay here.
It's 8:05. And I'm like, all right, I got to go.
Can I get my burrito, please?
And then as I was running back, the guy ran out with the burrito. I was like, I'm so sorry, man. It's been a bit of experience.
We got our burrito. We're good to go. We got a lot to get to in this hour of radio. Bill Riley will join us coming up at 8:30, hoping to have coffee delivered at some point so I can get a little pick-me-up for the back half of the show, but we'll see how it goes. We ran out yesterday, and that was not a wonderful discovery. I want to get to a couple of college football nuggies, one of them coming out of the Pate State interview there. And that is, where are you guys at? Now, if I say anything on this, I'm probably viewed as a little bias. Maybe I'm wearing a certain color tinted glasses going into this conversation.
What? You biased
never,
with your team? No
never,
way.
Never been biased. Never happened before. I've never been fooled.
No.
Are you guys with Pate State on Mario Cristobal in Miami this year? Is there still a doubt in the back of your mind? Like, so he brings up the idea of Miami and this might, you know, him thinking that they might win a national championship this year. One texter commented, Mario is their weakness. Miami will stumble. And another one.
Certainly one of the opinions.
Mario is their biggest weakness. Yeah. He was the last year he was at Oregon, and he had a top five NFL quarterback. And then there's some more in there that I can't read over the air. And so that, I mean, clearly those are coming in from Oregon fans who were saying, you know, we remember Mario, and Mario lost games he shouldn't lose. And he,
well, the Herbert thing also has not aged well for him, where you had that and you ran him and you couldn't make an offense that mattered or made sense to him.
Sure. You had one of the, you know, freakish athletes at quarterback in the NFL, and you put the restrictor plates on him for 2 years there.
Yep.
Where are you guys at on Miami this year? They got Florida this weekend. Game day is going there. Reese Davis is defending the decision to go to Miami, which I don't know why you would defend that. It's a horrible call. That game sucks, and nobody really cares.
Well, okay, where should they go?
I mean, I could throw a handful of games at you. I think Indiana, Illinois is more interesting than Miami, Florida. I think Utah, Texas Tech is more interesting than Miami, Nooners Florida.
There, I don't think they double dip chip very often, and they do a couple times a year.
Auburn, Oklahoma is more interesting than that game.
They were just in Oklahoma.
That's fine. Michigan, Nebraska is more interesting than that game, and Tulane and Ole Miss is more interesting than that game. All of those games are more interesting than Miami and Florida. Florida is 1-2, and their quarterback just threw five picks.
Yeah.
And they lost at home to South Florida.
I think the Nebraska would have been the choice. I think overall, though, I know they like to pretend they're week to week. I think they largely know where they're going a few weeks out. And then if something changes, that's drastic. They'll pivot.
This reeks of one that they picked at the start of the year, and then Florida lost two games and they didn't have time to pivot.
Here's my thing on Mario. I totally think a lot of what people are texting in is accurate. We all watched the same thing, whether you were a fan of it or not a fan of it. I don't disagree necessarily that he might be the weakness. Gene Chizik won a national championship, did he not?
He did.
Now you
can
say Cam Newton, all-time guy, and Malzahn with the offense. Sure. Certainly, I totally understand that. Fairley was a beast on defense. My point is, like, sometimes guys who you don't normally consider title-winning coaches, Ed Orgeron, to me, it's the Jimmys and the Joes, is it not? Like, Ed Orgeron is the definition of a guy that showed you it's the Jimmys and the Joes. Now, the X's and O's will matter, and some coaches will out-coach you and out-scheme you. I don't know if Mario and Miami are going to do it, but do I buy that they can? 150%. I don't think their conference is necessarily that hard. If they get past Florida, and this is the Mario test, right? Because there's always a stupid game for him.
They had two of them last year. Georgia Tech, who was a good team but not elite. They were good, and they lost on the road, and then they went on the road to Syracuse. All they needed was a win to get into the conference title game and go to the college football playoff, and they lost to Syracuse.
To me, it's their next two games. Hmm. They get past these next two games because in 2 weeks, it's at Florida State.
Florida State, next two games.
You get past Florida, and you get past Florida State. They're better than Louisville, Stanford, SMU, Syracuse, NC State, Va Tech, and Pitt. That is, they will not lose if they don't lose to Florida or Florida State.
Hmm.
They're undefeated. The new dynamic of the power playoff, you know, the rankings and how the seeding's going to go. They'll be, you know, I think that absolutely they can win it. And I don't trust Mario that much, but I just think it's about the Jimmys and the Joes.
And I think Carson Beck being one of those Jimmys and Joes is, I see Carson Beck if Mario tries to do something way too, him, you know, being experienced enough and have enough confidence in himself to, you know, change plays, call audibles, do something. It's like, no, we're not doing that at this point. And if he gets in, and he's not afraid probably to get into it with Mario because he had Kirby, so he's used to being yelled at. He's not scared of that. So, yeah, I think Carson Beck is the antidote to Mario being Mario at some point.
Hmm.
Now, Beck could still throw three picks against Florida State and they could lose it.
Mm-hmm.
There's that. But as far as, you know, late game clock management, situational things that he traditionally has messed up in the past.
I mean, he almost did in the Notre Dame game.
Team games.
He almost did. He lost track of how many timeouts Notre Dame had, and he ran the ball, and he tried to lose it.
And
at
he
the
was
end.
Being too conservative. Yeah. Like, those are moments. But that, what did he do? They won the game.
They did.
So even in a game where we're all like, yo, what are you doing? They ended up winning it. Maybe that was one of his two moments of the season, and he snatched the victory
from
the
survived despite the fact that he'd lost track of timeouts and went uber conservative.
Because in the past, those
instead
ended
of going
up,
for the kill shot.
Yeah, those ended up railroading him. I think they have young playmakers. I know we abandoned Beck because it was a weird, bad season, but statistically wasn't really as bad as we pretend it was.
No, and they led the country in drops, too, on top of it. So he did not have a lot of help from his wideouts.
I look at the defense, and it's only a snapshot of three games, Notre Dame and South Florida, the two that matter in those. But
that Florida State game is fascinating in a couple of weeks when they go to Tallahassee. That's going to be a lot of fun because Florida State had the win over Alabama, and then they played nobody, and then they had a bye week, and Florida State gets Kent State and then Virginia the next 2 weeks leading into that game, so you imagine they're undefeated and ranked in the top 10.
That Tony kid, I think, is just turned 18, the freshman wide receiver for them, Tony?
Yes, he's going to be an absolute monster. He's one of the highest-rated kids coming out of high school.
If that kid's already produced and they've played, you know, South Florida's not necessarily the team of Tennessee and Georgia stature, but it's
their schedule's not terrible. Beating Notre Dame and South Florida might be the Group of Five representative, and beating Notre Dame, who I know we joked about earlier being 0-2, and it's totally fair to have the thought they shouldn't be ranked in the top 25. I still think from a talent composite standpoint,
I don't disagree.
Notre Dame's one of the best 15 teams in all of college football.
That kid already has 18 catches with 200 plus yards in three games. He's barely an 18-year-old freshman, so
they're going to him a ton.
I get why people here don't, but he gets the talent, man.
The other thing, too, that I think benefits, like we talk a lot about how Notre Dame has benefited from the revamped playoff picture of they now have, not this year because they've already lost two games, but in other years, in theory, they have the ability to get a first-round bye because it doesn't just go to conference champions anymore if they change that.
Yep.
I would argue one of the other biggest benefactors of the expanded college football playoff field is Mario Cristobal.
Yes.
Because he is a guy who unquestionably, and it will happen at some point this year, they're going to be in a game that you're like, wait a minute, what's going on here? Why? What? And I don't know if
it might be this weekend.
It could be this weekend. It could be, you know, Louisville at home. It could be going on the road to SMU. You never know. Like, nobody had Georgia Tech beating them last year. Georgia Tech was a decent story.
100%.
I think Georgia Tech was 7-5 last season, and Syracuse, again, was fine with Kyle McCord, but let's not act like Syracuse was a world beater. They were a good team, but not elite. Like, he loses games that he should not lose as a double-digit favorite, and he did that in his time at Oregon. He beat Ohio State, and then 3 weeks later you lose, or 2 weeks later, you lose to a 3-9 Stanford team. That was the epitome of who he was, or losing to Auburn and then rattling off all those wins, and then Arizona State gets it at the end of the year. But the picture now is a 12-team playoff field. Now, it bit him last year because they didn't get into the ACC title game, and they ended up being left out of the playoff because of that, because Clemson jumped them by winning the conference. But this year, you can even beat Florida. Even if you lose to Florida State, you could probably trip up somewhere else. If you're still in the ACC title game, they'll be in. And there is a belief in him, at least from me in his time at Oregon, in big games. Like, he gets his team up for big games. He has them ready to go. Mm-hmm. They don't often. I know the Utah games at the end were ugly when he was at Oregon, but I think part of that was his mind was already in South Florida. He has the ability to get his team ready to go to win big games. So there is a belief in him when he gets to that point. It's just a question of can he avoid the hurdles. But so far they have this season, and I think they'll be in the playoffs.
Well, and it's a snapshot, and your point on double-digit favorite, like that you're not wrong.
That's been the biggest difference between him and Lanning in their 10 years. Lanning has not lost a game that I would argue. Like, maybe the Oregon State game
is the only one on that resume.
But that's a 10-win Oregon State team. I know they couldn't throw the ball, but that was a good Oregon State team. And every other game he's lost, they've either been a toss-up game or a slight favorite or a massive underdog.
Now, this is all barring injury, of course, because that's football. But, like, hold this. If they get past the Florida schools, I don't see it, man. I think Syracuse is not that good. I thought SMU got super exposed at home. Stanford's terrible. Louisville doesn't have that buzz. NC State, I don't know. They barely beat Wake Forest last weekend.
Yeah.
Vautech has fired their coach already, and Pitt's pissed. Like, hold it.
Yeah.
I don't see it. I also think a lot of the feedback we're getting, it's Scar Duck fan. Because this was his first big gig, and he gave you a lot of great things. He upped your recruiting profile. He won the conference, but he just fell short in a couple moments, and those moments hurt really bad. That 3-9 Stanford loss was inexcusable after beating Ohio State.
Especially in a 4-team playoff field where you couldn't afford stuff like that.
But the idea that a guy can't recruit and get better and getting talent and having the right things line up, I don't dismiss it. So I don't know if they'll win it, but I don't dismiss the idea of Miami being able to win it.
Yeah, I think your Orgeron point is pretty solid and spot on there. I'm going to get to another story in college football, and there's coaches who are now talking about this. Is it fixable? Or have we given up? Like, where is the college football community on this story? I want to get to that. We'll talk to Bill Riley coming up bottom of the hour. Back after this, 105.1 FM, The Fam.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. Sprague's giving two thumbs up to his burrito.
They did a pretty good job, man. They stuffed that thing.
Only $6, too. It's a good deal. Bill Riley coming up 9 minutes from now.
If Oregon, let's just, in a hypothetical here, I don't want to take the segment because I do want to talk about what you want to get to.
Sure.
In a hypothetical that Oregon, let's say, loses a shootout to Georgia in the semifinal.
Okay. Semis of the playoff.
And it's a heartbreaking loss, but you're like, God, we were that close,
man,
right?
Man, right there knocking on the door. Sure.
And then Georgia falls to Miami in a championship.
Loses to Miami in the title.
I'm trying to gauge. Would that crush Oregon fan? How do you think they would register? Because the response to Mario being able to win all of it, I'm like noting this in my head of like, okay, zero people believe this guy can do it.
Well, that's, yeah.
And I understand there's some hurt, you know, feelings there. But also we've seen him choke away at Miami and Oregon some games that you go, why?
His late game decision making can be questionable. And he has the problem over the years of not getting his team up to play in every game and losing games that he should not lose.
Well, I'm not going to speak for every USC fan, but I remember looking at message board stuff the year Orgeron won at LSU. Because remember, he filled in after they fired Kiffin or Sark. I can't remember which one it was.
I think it was Sark. We were down there for that game. They beat Oregon State in Corvallis, and he made his players carry him off the field.
And there were USC fans that like, yo, why didn't we keep this guy? He knows how to get talent. Yeah. Like, it became about the Jimmys and the Joes, even though everybody and their mom did not think he had the X's and the O's.
To answer your question in this example you're giving me, I don't think it would be crushing. The Oregon losing the way that they would lose and being that close again to reaching the mountaintop and coming up short would be far more crushing than watching Mario Cristobal win a national title.
Okay.
I think that would... And it's different if you, like, lose to Mario.
Now,
you lose in the title game, or they come to Oregon in the first round of the playoffs and say you're not getting a bye, and it's like the 12 versus 5 or whatever matchup you want, and they come to town and they beat you in your first playoff game.
That hurts.
Without a doubt, that is crushing. Yeah. But losing to anybody would be crushing in that moment because you got to win a playoff game this year.
Mm-hmm.
There's a sting there. I think it's just, there's a little bit, that hurts. But it's not going to cause you more pain and damage than what would happen losing yourself in the postseason. More texts continue to come in on Mario Cristobal. Time will tell. We'll see if they blow out Florida like everybody assumes they will this weekend. Where are we at on this player? Through three games, 55% completion percentage,
mm-hmm.
6 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. An opposing coach had a quote, an anonymous quote, of course, saying, quote, he's rushing a lot of passes, he seems nervous, and he's not comfortable pre-snap. This player was booed off the field with the rest of his team at the end of the first half of their last game. And that player is Arch Manning.
Mm-hmm.
Arch Manning came in as the most hyped college quarterback we've seen in quite some time, just in terms of the dialogue and conversation about him going into the year.
It's the name.
It's the name, right? And where he was ranked in the recruiting profile. And you could say the recruiting profile had to do a lot with his name, which I necessarily wouldn't disagree with because he played at a small level of high school football in Louisiana. He looks apart physically, but so far through three games, it has not looked pretty in any way, shape, or form. Opening with Ohio State, we all said, okay, it's Ohio State. That's a tough game to go play. First game, he's throwing sidearm. He'll be fine. And then it's a slow start at home against San Jose State, but they eventually pull away and he throws 4 touchdowns. You say, all right, they'll be okay. And then this past week, they're playing at home again and he's getting booed off the field against UTEP. And the stat line, I sent you a graph of a picture or a screenshot of the stat line at the end of the first half. It was like 6 of 15 for 52 yards and a pick.
Yeah.
It's ugly, ugly, ugly. Not just that he's not living up to the hype, but said, you're almost questioning, is this guy starting quarterback at that level? Where are we at on Arch? And is there room for growth isn't the right phrase here, but do we believe that the hype will ever be realized, I guess?
I mean, not to the... Are we talking about the Feinbaum level of the best
quarterback
since
Talking about being one of the
Tebow?
Best in the sport and being a guy who's an NFL starter.
No.
Mm.
No, well, NFL starter, I can't speak to that, but if we just keep it in the college game...
He's already in his third year of college football, too. Like, he's eligible to go after this year.
And I
doubt... It's not like he's a true freshman. It's not... Some of these, it's not Bryce Underwood right now who's starting as an 18-year-old kid.
Well, I thought Suk always made a good point of like, you know, they probably internally were thinking he was going to take a leap last year and push Ewers because it wasn't like Ewers jumped off the screen and he couldn't do it. They came in and said, hey, it's 4th and 1. We need you to sneak it.
Can you go run? Yeah, or use your legs. Because he's a good athlete.
I kind of go back to the Ohio State game and I don't know about the injury stuff, man. I think... Excusing or opting to the quarterback is injured narrative without knowing concretely is kind of a weird out for it.
One of those things you usually hear in the aftermath of it. They'll like leak it at the end of the year. Actually, he's been dealing with blah, 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 blah.
To me, he looks like a guy who's in his own head.
Yeah.
I mean, I go back to the Ohio State game and I just don't remember the first half him throwing sidearm every pass. And by the second half, it looked like every throw was a sidearm Uncle Rico flick. And I'm like, what's going on here? I'm not a quarterback guy in any way, coach, but like even I can see that that throwing motion ain't going to work. And so he looks like a guy whose his mechanics are broken. He's in his own kitchen. Like, who do they play this week? Sam Houston?
They play, Sam Houston. Sam Houston.
And then you get the Oklahoma game, right?
Yeah, no, at Florida, then Oklahoma.
At Florida, then Oklahoma. Like, yes. He's probably going to put up 4 or 5 touchdowns way against San Jose State. I'm going to take zero away from that. What you do against Florida and Oklahoma is the barometer of like what that ceiling is. It's not that you can't get better. We've seen plenty of quarterbacks grow. It's that it looks so, it just looks so opposite of what we were told about him from almost every pundit.
Everybody.
That it's jarring to watch. And to me, I just wonder when internally, if they're not there, when are they concerned? Because I heard the Sark audio. I've heard the Arch audio. Yeah,
they're getting
I got to play better. And
yeah.
Sark's like, I know he has it in him. And I'm like, when you have to kind of say that stuff out loud after 3 weeks where you've played 2 patsies and 1 really good team, that tells me internally you're probably starting to see on film troubling things in many ways. So get past this patsy. Florida's not amazing, but you know if you're going to play like this, you're live.
Yeah.
And then Oklahoma, they have a defense that can absolutely wreck a quarterback who is dealing with confidence issues.
I mean, he's a guy who's waited for 3 years, back-to-back years in the same system. Like, this isn't just throwing a fish out of water as a freshman and saying, go swim. He's been around. He's developed. This was his whole thought process of this is how I want to do it. And I don't blame you for thinking he might torch Sam Houston this weekend because he did end up with 4 tutties against San Jose State 2 weeks ago. His stat line against UTEP at home was 11 of 25 for 114 yards, 1 touchdown and 1 pick. Against UTEP at home.
I mean, you can.
And that was a 14-3 game at the end of the first half, and they scored late in that first half to make it 14-3.
You can certainly see Ohio State better than anybody on the Oregon schedule, and obviously that's true,
yes.
But I would also counter and say Dante Moore sat 1 year in the Stein offense and watched Dylan Gabriel operate. He went and dropped 60. Well, there was back to back pick sixes. Whatever the amount he dropped,
52 or whatever, yeah,
whatever it was when
55,
he played.
55, whatever. Yeah.
But look what they did to Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State is better than Sam Houston. Oklahoma State is better than San Jose. And Oklahoma State is better than the other, whoever it is. But this is, you should be seeing from Arch what you're seeing from Dante Moore.
Exactly.
And it's not even like remotely close. I think him and Lagway are outside of the good teams and the hypothetical funds of who's going to win the conferences and contention. Man, I think they might be right there in the mix of biggest talking points this year of how bad both have been.
It continues to be a storyline we'll watch as the season goes on. Arch was awful last week. Even if he torches Sam Houston, to your point, I don't think it changes anybody's mind. We'll wait and see what he does at Florida and what he does against Oklahoma in the Red River rivalry game. The big, or one of the big games of the weekend in college football is Utah hosting Texas Tech. A 10 a.m. local start. How does our friend Bill Riley feel about it? He's a longtime voice of the Utes. He's going to hop on, talk some college football and big game in Salt Lake this weekend. That's next.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is brought to you by Pelican Brewing, independently brewing on the Oregon coast since 1996. Discover even more flavors from your local coast with Pelican's new craft sodas. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
All right, Pelican Brewing Hard Hops presents today's Daily Ticker. Discover Hard Hops Blackberry Hop-Infused Hard Seltzer and experience your hops differently. One of the best games of the weekend in college football. Saturday morning, bright and early, 10 a.m. start. It's the big noon game on Fox, and it is Utah hosting Texas Tech. And joining us now is our great friend, longtime voice of Utah football, Bill Riley. Bill, first off, good morning to you. Did we deactivate Twitter? Are we off of Twitter now?
I've decided, boys, that it's no longer what I need to do.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Yes. If it can't make me money, but it can lose me money, I don't need it in my life.
Another round of applause. Very good point by you.
Brilliant call. Let's start with the hard-hitting question of, are we excited or depressed about the idea of a 10 a.m. local kickoff?
I love the early kick, guys. Yeah. That UCLA game was so late, even for West Coast purposes. That game was so late. I have done enough Pac-12 after dark games in my life. I love it. A big noon kickoff is here in town. The set is there. Urban and the boys. The Fox time slot where the whole country is going to get to see you. Whittingham loves it. He would play it when the sun crests over the mountains here, if he could, at 6:02 a.m.
Yeah.
I don't mind it at all. It's a little bit of an adjustment, but you know, come on, it's game day Saturday. You get like six of these at home. Fans are fans. They love the tailgate. Duck fans would do it. Beaver fans would do it if you're going to do it. And here's the other thing I tell fans too. You're only playing this time slot because your team's good. They don't put teams that aren't very good in the prime noon Eastern time Fox time slot. So, you know, they won't be there every week. It'll be maybe a couple of times a year. So I don't mind it. I like it. Then I can get home, have a nice drink, maybe one of those Pelican hard sodas or one of those beers.
Package is on the way. It's on the way. It's en route.
Would you send it Pony Express? Yeah, so it's great because then I can get home and watch, you know, some football later in the day. So I don't mind it. It'll be a great setting. Sellout crowd. The sun, it's supposed to be 75 and sunny. It'll be a great setting on Saturday.
Let me ask you, Sir William Riley, what did you learn about Texas Tech against my beloved Beavers last weekend?
Not a lot.
Thank you.
It's kind of like the Utah-UCLA game. We thought UCLA was going to be maybe it, and they stink. They're not good. Mm. And I know if I hate to say this because I love the Oregon State fans, but it's looks like it's kind of a rough year. I think what I learned is kind of like Utah, Texas Tech and Utah are both good. They've both done it against their three opponents. It's weird to say this, but the best team either one of them's probably played is Wyoming. Wyoming is actually a kind of a middle of the pack, hard playing Mountain West team. But I don't think I learned that Texas Tech is good. They didn't mess around. But I think Saturday we're going to learn a lot about both these teams and where they're at. I don't think we know a great deal about where they are in the non-conference season, and Saturday is going to tell us a lot more.
Yeah, I was really high on Utah coming into the year because of the quarterback addition, and I do want to talk about them, but I'm curious to ask you, Bill, because we're going through something up here this week, and that is they announced yesterday they're continuing the Civil War series. Oregon and Oregon State play this weekend, and Beaver fans want nothing to do with the game anymore because the resources at each school, and it feels like an automatic win, right? So the juice is completely gone. It feels like from the rivalry that used to be great in the weekend after Thanksgiving every year, and a tradition in this state that a lot of us have loved for a long time. You'll have to correct me because I'm a little hazy and I got some holes in my memory here, but this was like Utah State, right? Like they used to play every year. Utah leaves the conference and then it kind of dwindled, but they've played a couple of times since. So what was the history there? How did the fan bases react when it was stopped playing, and how do they react now when it is getting played again?
Well, BYU was always the main rival. Yeah. That was the thing. I mean, Utah State was an in-state game, and it was played for a long time. And they were Utah was always a little bit better program, but Utah State was pesky and competitive. And then over the last 20 years, it really hasn't been there. It's just different. I mean, Oregon State's the Civil War. Utah BYU's the Holy War. Utah State and BYU both BYU and Utah both play Utah State, but it doesn't have the same feel or vibe to it. And Utah's played Utah State on and off. It hasn't been a consistent thing. They went up there last year to play because they needed a game, so they added that. But I won't even call it a rivalry, kind of a series that's kind of gone by the wayside.
Okay. Where do you view Utah right now? Like, Dampier's been a great addition. Their record indicates pretty good. This might be a huge, you know, tiebreaker scenario situation within a crazy Big 12. So far, early good return for Whittingham in Utah with Dampier at the quarterback position, which was what really plagued them last year. What do we make of the Utes so far going into this game with the new addition at quarterback?
Much like I said about Texas Tech, they're a good, really good team. This is the test this week. You know, Texas Tech spent mostly on the defensive side of the football, mostly on that defensive line. They loaded up, you know, whatever number you want to look at, $25, $30, $50 million is what they, you know, they front-loaded all those deals before the July 1 settlement date came in. Next year it'll be different because everybody's allegedly supposed to comply with that $20, $21.5 million, you know, settlement deal. But Utah's going to face its best test. They just really are. And so far, I mean, the offense has been a hit. Dampier knows it because he played in it at New Mexico. His favorite receiver, Ryan Davis, has 19 catches in three games. They've run the ball in every way, shape, and form they can. They're getting the ball to a bunch of guys. They don't have that one dude. You know, they don't have that one weapon that they're throwing it to. But every game, 9 to 11 guys are catching the ball. 8 to 9 guys are running the ball. So while they may not have that one, oh my God, look out for this guy, they've got about 7 or 8 or 9 guys they can get the ball to at any point in time to make plays. So far, so good. The returns have been good. And this week's going to be that, you know, that litmus test. How good is it? Where are we in the hierarchy of things?
Well, and then I think on the Dampier note, too, last year, his completion percentage was just shy of 58%. He had 12 touchdowns and 12 picks. Still tremendous to watch and a freak athlete. This year, his completion percentage in three games is at 73%. He's got 7 touchdowns and no picks. And this is one of the storylines we talked about, Bill, early in the season, where a lot of these hype guys, we just got done doing a segment on Arch Manning before we brought you in. I'm like, what the hell's happening there? He seems broken. He seems lost. The Heisman race is wide open. His numbers right now, if you look across the country, you can argue are as good as anybody's in college football, and he's doing it with his legs as well. And the two games that he's actually had to play, you know, and didn't, you know, the Cal Poly game, I imagine he didn't play a ton in the second half and they didn't want him to run. What does a win this weekend do for that Heisman campaign? Because his numbers are there.
Well, because of what we were talking about at the beginning, I mean, you're on Big Fox. Everybody in the country is going to see this game. Nobody's falling asleep and missing this thing. It's a chance for him. And to be fair, too, Baron Morton is really good for Texas Tech. This dude can spin it, and he's kind of been an under-the-radar guy. I think both these quarterbacks this weekend have a chance to really make a statement with all the eyeballs on them. Now, watch it end up being a 13-10 game where the defenses dominate and all of this goes out the window. I don't think that's going to be the case, but no, it's a real chance. And Devin, you know, last year he was a true sophomore. He was starting for the first time and he was in a brand new offense. And to be very fair, he had a terrible offensive line and not a ton of weapons around him at New Mexico, yet they were fourth in the country in offense. He had to do a lot. He was kind of the Superman running around. It was really an interesting setup. Well, this year he's got one of the best offensive lines in the country. He's got two running backs who could both be 1,000-yard rushers this year. He's got a cavalcade of guys to throw the football to. So his numbers are going to be better just being in the offense for a second year, but also not having to make the plays all by himself. It was interesting. I talked to Joey McGuire, just got off the phone with him this morning to do a pregame interview with him, the Texas Tech coach. And he's like, you know, he was a high school coaching legend in Texas. He goes, I coached against Kyler Murray 3 times in high school and once in college when he was at Baylor. He said, this guy is the closest thing I've seen to Kyler Murray since seeing Kyler Murray. I don't think he's quite as fast as Kyler Murray, but he's got that elusiveness and that ability to make plays. Some of his plays, he's having to kind of learn to play from the pocket because he's actually got a pocket to throw from this year. But to hear a coach say he's comparable to a guy like Kyler Murray is pretty high praise.
I don't know if we've asked you this before. We've had you on so many times, and you're a good friend of the program. At what age did you go from Billy to Bill?
Well, here's the thing I always say. People that call me Billy, with the exception of Kyle Whittingham, because for some reason Kyle Whittingham's called me Billy for 20 years. If you call me Billy, you've probably known me since I was about 18 or 19 years old.
Okay.
And if you call me Bill or William or Jackass or something like that, you've probably known me since I was like 20 or 21 years old. So that's usually the line of demarcation, is kind of that 18, 19-year-old range, unless you're Kyle Whittingham, because for whatever reason – he's called me Billy for 20 years.
I've always found the name a very confusing one for me and who I am. And I only asked you this question is because when I text you, my phone auto-corrected to Billy. I only text people with Bill. I don't know why it did that. And I thought, what if I had sent this? Would this offend him? But I'm also curious why you go Bill instead of Will. But you look like a Bill Riley. You don't look like a Will Riley.
Yeah, Bill fits you.
Well, my dad's Bill.
Oh,
so I'm like the fourth.
Okay. All right.
I'm the fourth. So my dad was Bill as well. So that's probably where it comes from.
Gotcha.
But Sprague, if you want to, you can call me Billy. I'll give you
granted the immunity.
The phone auto corrected it since Siri said Billy. So you and Kyle Whittingham have permission.
All right, there we go.
Look at that,
I'll send you the Pelican finally. Dirt's a cheap ass.
Now it's on its way. Now that we can call you Billy. Now
it's all it took.
Yes,
tell me anything you want if you're going to send me a 12-pack of Pelican. For goodness sake,
he's the voice of Utah. They got a big one on the Big Nooner this weekend. Utah, Texas Tech. We always love catching up with him, Bill Riley or Billy Riley, if you prefer. Have a great call this weekend, and let's do this again soon, Bill.
Hey, by the way, your producer, Tom, will you guys try to stay on clock today?
Yeah,
I know it'll be a first for you guys, but would you stay on clock?
Hey, you know what? You got it. Our guest just wouldn't shut up.
Yeah, he just won't stop talking about this Billy thing and the Pelican stuff. He just keeps going on and on. We're trying to break. What are we doing?
Talk to you soon, boys.
There you go. Bill Riley, the voice of Utah football. The Daily Ticker, as always, brought to you by our great friends at Pelican Brewing Company. Their Hard Hops presents today's Daily Ticker. Discover Hard Hops Blackberry Hop-Infused Hard Seltzer and experience your hops differently. A Big Kahuna in Salt Lake City. 10 a.m. start time. I don't think we'll go over very well here.
He's a sicko. Me, him, and Whittingham
sicko.
Are sickos. We love that morning football, but the majority of that fan base is pissed.
The other thing you got to remember, too, is how, and maybe people can say you're an idiot, there's a ton of them, but like they're in Salt Lake City. Like, they're in the city that the majority of their fan base is in. Does that make sense? It's not a two-hour drive, I would argue, for most of their fans. I'm sure they have people that do come from out of town.
I don't know how the landscape
right,
of
but
Utah
like,
works.
How many Oregon and Oregon State fans are driving down to the game every weekend, and so a 10 a.m. game is a little bit different when there's a two-hour drive involved, and it's not, you know, hey, it's 15 minutes, I'm going from, you know, southeast Portland to Hillsboro.
Yeah, but you still have to start tailgating at least
You still got to start tailgating
if you're
going
to tailgate at all, right?
Yes, you do. I get it from a working angle. From a fan angle, it sucks. A couple thoughts on this weekend's college football slate, then we'll dive into some NFL stuff coming up. We also got our big packs to get to, big pack picks to get to. We'll wedge those in. Still a lot to come next on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair. The best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. 11:53. Bill Riley wouldn't shut up, so we went a little long on the clock there. Let's get it out of the way now, because I don't think there's a lot of... I mean, we'll see. Maybe you surprise me. Maybe each of you take a certain direction that I don't see coming. You want to do our big pack picks here? Want to get our big pack picks out of the way? There's only two games to choose from this week. We don't have a full slate, because they play each other.
Yeah.
So for those who are new to the program, hello. First off, good morning to you. We pick the two... God, this is the only reason I like the segment, just so I can hear this music for a little bit. The Oregon State, Washington State games every week against the spread, and they're playing each other this week, so there's only two games. Last week in our Big Pack picks, I went 0-for. Took Oregon State, and Washington State. Oopsies. Sprager, you had a 2-1 weekend. You took North Texas. You were the only one, and you went against your Beavs, took Texas Tech to cover the big number, and they did. And Swag, you went 1-2, picking the Cougs and Oregon, but you did take Texas Tech. So season standings right now, Sprager 6-4 in the Big Pack picks. I am 4-6 after an 0-3 weekend. Jason Swigard 3-7. So we're out of the gate a little slow here. Sprague's above 500. It's been a rough start. Let's open with
focusing on Sprague in the line this year.
All the energy's going.
That's because those ones
line,
actually matter. This is just fun. It's a fun way to talk about the games, right? We're not putting any money on this. First game up is obviously at noon on the Big Ten Network, and the line between Oregon and Oregon State in the Civil War. Yes, we still call it that. 35.5.
See, this is a game where I think Oregon makes an absolute statement to start. And they come out the gate. I told Swag I'd be shocked if this wasn't 21-0 or more at the end of the first quarter. I just wonder, do they get to the third and fourth string guys who will never play by the back end? Can this be an absolute garbage time, 50-17? Unless Dan Lanning and that defense is locked in like they were Oklahoma State.
That'd be a cover.
I believe it can be. I will actually do it, and it's not a bias. It's we literally don't care anymore. We've beaten you to a pulp. We have Penn State.
They got a pretty big one next week.
Touchdown.
Yeah. Swag?
I don't think Oregon State can take advantage of it. I really don't. I think it all comes apart.
60-3.
I think it's going to be awful. I will lay the 35.5.
Yeah, I'm gonna lean with Swag on this one too. I keep gambling on Oregon State and learning the lesson the hard way. I'm 0-3. I picked them in all three games
should've
so far this
me
year.
Last weekend.
I should have followed you last weekend. Now watch this be the one game I pick against them, and they find a way to cover the spread in a backdoor.
Right.
Their offensive line has been so bad; they're not going to be able to run the ball.
No. And they can't against anybody.
Yeah, I think Oregon's angry with the way that they played, and there's a message of let's be sharp going into our biggest game of the season. I don't think it's much more than 35, but I got a lot more trust in Oregon doing it than I do Oregon State right now.
Don't blame you.
And then the Apple Cup is at 4:30 on CBS. They get the CBS Gary Danielson treatment, and that is a line that has come down as the week has gone on. Your line currently, according to Vegas Insider, because you can't find it at Allen A, 19.5. Washington State, a 19.5 point underdog.
I expect the Jimmy Rogers to come out with excitement.
Jimmy Rogers. They've named their starting quarterback, but they won't say who it is.
Well, because there's three of them.
There's three of them. They chose on Sunday, but they won't announce it publicly.
Give me the Huskies all day. I think Jed Fish and company have a bone to pick with what happened last year. They're better. The quarterback is better. Give me the Huskies with the points.
I'll take the bait from Vegas. I'll take the points. That was an embarrassment of all embarrassments.
You think it's bait?
Just from where it started?
It opened,
21 or something, and coming,
Put it up to 25. I'll take the Huskies in that.
There's just something. It's in Pullman. I think there'll be all sorts of wrinkles and surprises from Jimmy Rogers, and it'll be one of those things where the Huskies can never.
You know what you do? You throw the records out when these two teams play.
Surprise, we scored this week.
The Cougs will just keep hanging around, and they'll sneak inside the line late.
I cannot begin
so
to
you're
tell
gonna
you.
So you're going to take the Cougars plus 19?
Yeah.
After what they just did to you with North Texas.
19.5. Exactly. He's got the hook. He's getting a hook out of it.
Yeah.
He's got that hook.
Right.
He's got that hook.
Okay.
I can't even begin to tell you how happy I would be if that's the outcome of this game, Swag. If this game is uncomfortable and the Cougs are pushing them, my God, is my Saturday going to go phenomenally? Because I feel pretty good about the Civil War, so I know I'm going to be sitting, leaning back on my couch at this point, just laughing at all the other teams struggling as mine gets ready for Penn State. Dude, they were down by 50 points at halftime to North Texas last week.
I understand all of that.
And so I can't
do
it again.
Of all of that.
This line, to your point on it being, it makes literally no sense to me. Explain this line being 19.5. Anybody?
I don't care to because I don't buy it.
That's why.
Why don't you listen to the 3-7 guy?
I mean, I'm only 4-6, so don't listen to me either. But I will take the Huskies to cover the 19.5. There's your big pack picks for the week.
Weather's going to be nice, too. Like, you're not going to Pullman in the cold
no,
ass weather
of November.
No, it's
not snowing. It's not. Yeah, I just.
Dude.
Could you imagine if they pulled off the upset? Could you imagine? Not going to happen. There's no way it happens, right? No way it happens.
Fire Jed Fish.
They won't run the option to the short side of the
field again.
You
better hope for Jed Fish to go to Florida if that happens.
We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. We'll start with this stat. How many of these NFL teams do you trust? Do we get a big wood laying tonight on Thursday Night Football? It's a loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 FM, The Fam.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.